Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Chase, you are where? Lucky dog, where are you?
I am at the Party Fowl in Donelson, just off of Lebanon Pike. So I just got handed a menu of all the signature cocktails that they have. So you got a bunch of choices there. They have the Red Bull Tropical Tequila, and I believe the Red Bull team is going to be in here a little bit later on. So stay tuned to learn more about that, because that could be good. They are. Yeah. They really are. They have wings. They have Red Bull Boozy Slushies, which I've had one of. I don't know if you've ever had that. And I don't know if you're much of the Red Bull drinker like I am, but the Red Bull Boozy Slushies, big fan of those. So I've had that before, and so they got all that. And like I said earlier, happy hour 3 to 6, trivia on Thursdays. They have live music on Saturdays, and then today the reason you want to come in is because you can watch the hockey team. We have our watch party here. To watch the Preds play Arizona in Game 3. So I'm hanging out here during our show until 12:30, and it's a lot of fun. Very cool people, nice people here. They're getting ready to go and open things up. And got 44 TVs in this place, so you won't miss a thing.
Wow. There you go. Now that's the setup right there.
And I know you're a TV snob. They are nice TVs. Wow. These are high-quality televisions. They got the big ones that on the wall that, you know, stretch out. So they're actually showing my Atlanta Braves right now. So the game from last night.
They keep scoring a lot of runs.
They do.
But they're pitching. They need to.
Yeah, because they have one pitcher, one starting pitcher.
So therefore, they need to give them lots of run support.
Yeah, run support is a good thing. So I know we have C. Mace now, but we can talk baseball. His Blue Jays. I guess he's a Blue Jays fan. But
I saw big Vlad Guerrero Jr. with a big hit yesterday. Well, I'm just proud of you because so far, 20 minutes in the show, I have not heard you chomping on food while you're talking. So
no,
good job by you.
No,
he's Chris Mason. He's at C. Mace 30 on Twitter. You should give him a follow. It's free and easy to do, and it takes like 1.2 seconds to click follow, and he's worth the follow. Chris, what's up?
Not too much. Just getting ready to head out, get a gas up, and head down to the arena to do game three. Can't wait.
Nice response yesterday, huh?
Yes. You know, you often hear the catchphrase or the key word out of a locker room that, you know, really dictates the messaging, I think, and I don't even think that we really needed to hear that, to know what had to be done. I don't think they were happy with the way that they responded in the first period of that game, first kind of time they faced any adversity when they got scored on that fluky goal. I think they struggled for the next 8 to 10 minutes in that period, and that was enough to really cost them the game. And in the first period, I feel, you know, although they didn't get scored on, they had to deal with some adversity. And UC Saros was there, and I thought the Coyotes, you know, came out with the mindset that they smelled a little bit of blood. And they're like, hey, if we could, you know, we won game one. If we can really get out to a good start and get out to an early lead, we can win this one and take a stranglehold on the series. But I thought the Predators did just a fantastic job. in terms of their response. I thought the first, they weathered the Arizona comeback there. Bones got that first huge goal. That was just so mentally big for this team to get that first goal. And then Arizona had a great pushback, but then Saros went to work, and he was incredible, and he kept them off the board, and that just allowed the guys to settle in, I think. And, you know, quite honestly, in the second and third period, it was just complete domination.
Yep.
I mean, I barely noticed Hall and Kessel out there. They completely neutralized them, Keller for that matter, until the very end of the game. They were non-factors in the game because of the way, you know, that they held them at bay. And I think, you know, Josi and Ellis were a huge part of that. They just didn't give them anything. It was just complete domination on their stars.
Well, you were looking at the wrong place then, Chris. Taylor Hall was there, very visible, in the box a lot.
Well,
you
there
just
you
had
go.
To look at the penalty box.
Yeah, exactly.
He spent eight minutes in the box.
Yeah. And that's just shows you that's frustration. That's a direct result of how they're playing him. He's got no room out there. You know, I was talking to John Hines after the game last night, and I asked him about that. I said, what was the game plan with those guys? I'm like, I barely even noticed them. And he said, as soon as we lose possession or they have it start to in the offensive zone, we want to be on them. And he said, if they get possession, he's like, our neutral zone, we are very aggressive, and we're challenging the red line. We're challenging our blue line. And just the puck retrievals after that, we're forcing them. They don't want to dump pucks in. That line wants to carry the puck in. They want to use their speed, but there's nowhere to go. You know, there's nowhere to go. And then when they do it, the guys are outworking them and winning the battle. So it was a really, really good showing by the Preds.
You know, something you said at the beginning that I brought up with Hal yesterday in pregame before puck drop. You know what's at stake. You know you can't get down. Is the series over if you're down 0-2? No, it's not technically over. Stats will tell you that it's not a place you want to be. It's a very lonely place. Only one time has anybody ever climbed out of that hole. So you know what's at stake. If you noticed in all these series, for the most part, all these teams that lost the first game, they have bounced back and responded, especially in these short series. But how do you keep that pressure out of your mind and go do your job? Like, you know what's at stake, but you know, you always hear the term, you know, gripping your stick too tight. You don't want to do that in this case. You've got to go out there and get the job done, but you also can't put all that pressure on yourself. How difficult as a player is it to do that, or is it?
Well, I'll tell you my take on that, because I felt the longer that I played, the better I was able to block out what, you know, the other things that didn't matter at that time. And I felt that the guys around me helped me do that too when I was a little younger. The guys with more experience that were able to, you know, convey the message that you just got to worry about the game. All this outside noise, even all, you know, anything personal going on in your life or anything that's at stake, I just felt you were able to develop that mental strength to be able to put those things aside and really focus. And the only thing that matters is what you have to do today, which is the game, and which is your job, and which is your first shift. And you kind of go from that kind of mentality. And I feel that the Predators have a team that's been there before. They've been in elimination games. They've played game sevens. They've had their back against the wall. They've been the favorites. They've been the underdog. I feel that as a group, when you're able to collectively, you know, rely on your experiences, it helps you do that. It's just another game. We have to worry about ourselves. We have to worry about what we have to do in this game. What's our game plan? What do we have to do on this shift? And I feel that's a big advantage in this series, because the Coyotes don't have that. And you saw them yesterday, and I heard their coach talking about not getting too comfortable after game one. Well, it looked like they got a little too comfortable. I think they, you know, they did have a good pushback after the first goal, but after that, you know, you looked at their body language in the second and third period, and they were defeated. They were just defeated.
It wasn't good. You're right.
It wasn't good. They didn't. It felt like they thought they didn't have an answer for what the Preds were doing, you know, and that's, I don't think, you know, you didn't see that in game one out of the Predators when they were down 3-0. So I feel that, three goals, but I feel that that is a huge advantage, especially in a game, best of five, because what the Preds can do to a team like the Coyotes is they can say, well, you know what, we're young, we got some experience. We were the 11th seed and, you know, we got into the playoffs and we weren't supposed to. You can take that, you know, you can mentally in the back of your head as a team. And it looked like they were starting to do that a little bit in game two. But where the Predators, they've been there before. They're here to win. They have something to prove. And I know the Coyotes do too, and I'm not saying that they think like that, but you can get a team to think like that.
Sure. One thing I really appreciate about your perspective and Hal's perspective, and I've brought this up before on the show, like we should all, you know, we're blessed in this market because us broadcasters or media and the fans, you're on the television side, Hal's on the radio side, and I know he does stuff with you guys on TV too, but you guys bring a unique perspective to the table. You have different set of eyes than all of us. You see things differently than us. And sometimes you anticipate things different than all of us because you've been there, done it, and you played the game. And you can learn a lot by listening to both of you because you're going to bring something different to the table. And let me give you a for example of where this is going. And I'd never thought about this. And it's this happens all the time. And whether it's a conversation with you or with Hal, it's like, I didn't think about that. Yesterday, Hal brings up on the broadcast with Pete Weber, and I was like, wow, what a unique perspective, and it's so true, and you don't really think about it. Hal was noticing that the ice conditions were poor. Now, he wasn't taking a shot at the crews there. There is a unique dynamic in play. There are two sheets of ice that are handling all of these teams. Like yesterday in Edmonton, there were three games. And oh, by the way, it's the summer. And it's hard, right? This has got to be a difficult task for the crews in Edmonton and Toronto to keep these ice conditions up. You played on it. You know how what that means when he says that. And like I said, I never really thought about it. But, man, these arenas have a difficult task of trying to keep the ice, you know, the sheet of ice in good playing condition, in tough conditions.
They do. They really do.
Have you noticed that, by the way?
I have in some games and in others not. I watched a little thing, actually, before I was on NBC, I think, that about the ice crews, and they were talking about, you know, they have all these games, three games in each arena every day, and they have an hour between, and they thought that they said it might be not easier, but the fact that there's no fans in the building, they're able to regulate the temperature a little better and should be able to get the ice back up, you know, to their standard with the hour in between and enough time of preparation and being able to control the temperature. But man, there's just, you're talking these NHL players and they're just beasts and they're digging into that ice and it's just, it's going to be tough to catch up, you know, and get that 100%. But it's a good observation by Hal too, because as a player, when the ice is like that, you have to play different.
And that's where I was going. So what does it mean? Yeah. He was bringing up it was slushy, C-Mace, when he was observing. He's like, the ice is already slushy. And remember, yesterday's Preds-Coyotes game was the first game in Edmonton. That's the first of three. So what does that mean for a player whenever these things start happening?
Well, the execution, you know, the high skill plays are going to be tougher to make. Holding on to the puck for extended period of time, you're not going to be able to, you know, get the handle on the puck and maybe make the passes, you know, cross ice as crisp as you can, because you're going to have some pushback from the ice condition. So, you know, on the flip side of that, knowing that you have to play kind of a north-south game, getting pucks in deep and the old cliche, but really getting on the forecheck, but also knowing that when you do, their guys aren't going to be able to handle the puck too. So if you see them trying to, you know, get a little fancy with it, you've got that opportunity to really jump on them and take advantage of the ice conditions in that sense, and, you know, force them to simplify. And I think they did a really good job. I think that was a lot of their game plan anyway, was to play north and to really get in and get their defensemen turning around and pressure them and really win those battles. But when the ice conditions are like that, you're almost forced to do it. So it can be a good thing if you recognize that early.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators broadcaster and former goaltender. Craig Morgan of AZCoyotesInsider.com has put out, Nick Schmaltz will miss his third straight game for the Coyotes. Darcy Kuemper is in goal. Aiden Hill will be the backup. Antti Raanta unfit to play, as we talked about that earlier. So let's look at this from the goaltender perspective from Arizona. And Darcy Kuemper, as Darren and I were talking about earlier, a little shaky. Now you've kind of gotten in his head after yesterday's game. UC Saros, the juice is loose right now, playing well. So if you're the Predators, if you're the players and you're having conversations right now, you know that their goaltender is shaky. You've kind of gotten to him. How do you take advantage of that situation and not overlook that opportunity?
Well, what I would do is I would look at the way that they got to him. How did we get to him? Game one, he faced 40-plus shots. He was really good, made a ton of saves, got going early. A lot of shots from the outside early got him into the game. Game two was a different story. Every shot that they put in him, there was either somebody standing in front of him or somebody right on the doorstep or a buzz of crowd, you know, people, Austin Watson, assistants, whoever, coming to the net after to let them know that they're going to be there all night. They established that game early. They didn't get a ton of shots in the first period, but when they did, they were all over the net. They were on the forecheck. They were shooting from everywhere, shooting through traffic, whether it was the Predator standing in front of the net or his own defenseman in front of the net. So he never really got to feel the puck. It seemed like he was always trying to find. I know as a goaltender, when you can't get in that groove and you can't see those pucks and, you know, you're guessing half the time, it's tough to get in. It's tough to find your game when every single shot you're having to battle just to see it. And I think that's what the Predators did. And if I'm in that locker room, I know they're going to be pointing that out, because it must have been a big point of emphasis, because they were all over Kemper. And they were, every time there was and they were shooting from everywhere, bad angles, just unpredictability. And anytime you're unpredictable, again, that makes your job a lot harder as a goaltender. So I'm going back to exactly how they played the game yesterday and the types of shots they delivered at the net and the way that they did it. So that's my advice to them. And I'm sure John Hines will be preaching that in the locker room.
I always look at things from a psychological angle to see how you can get an edge. And yesterday, and a lot of people have said it, 59 minutes of solid hockey, and then that last minute, it got away from them. UC didn't get the shutout. How do the guys take that, use that as motivation, knowing, like, man, it's his first playoff win. We really wanted him to get the shutout. We let him down there. How can they take that, turn that into a positive, and maybe correct some of those mistakes that we saw in that final minute?
Well, I honestly, you know, Willie and I said this after the broadcast. I obviously don't like to see that, and as a goalie, that sucks. But at the end of the day, the most important thing and the only thing that matters is winning the hockey game. And to me, that's a shot in the arm. And, you know, I heard Rick Tocchet say, every coach says this about playoffs, because it's so true, is don't get comfortable. Stay even keel. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. I felt yesterday after the second period, it was easy for the Predators. And that's a credit to them, because they played their game plan perfectly. And I don't mean easy, because they put their bodies on the line. They blocked a ton of shots. But they played their game plan perfectly, and the game became easy, I find, as that game went on. So to me, that's a little shot in the arm, a little reminder to say, hey, guys, you know what? Let's see what happens. We got too comfortable. The game was over. We relaxed for, you know, a minute and a half. And, you know, there's two pucks behind us. So don't do that. Don't do that. You can't relax. And you just can't, you know, exhale and say, okay, we're there now. We've got our game going. The Coyotes weren't ready to play. They're intimidated by us. You can't think that. And I think in a sense that might have been something, I think, that was beneficial for them, even though at the time it was kind of frustrating. You felt bad for Juice. But I think that could be good moving forward for going into today, to kind of keep that edge, to kind of get it back and not be too comfortable.
I know it's easy to say yes to this question because he's got 3 points in two games, but from your eyes, do you feel like that you're seeing the Ryan Johansson that you know he can be, that maybe it's too quick to say, oh, he's back, but from what you've seen from these first two games and even the exhibition game, does it feel like it's trending that way?
It does. He's been one of their best players. I think up front, him and Phil have been what you want them to be. They're the driving force. Ryan Johansson was an absolute beast in the faceoff circle. He won 13 of 18. He's out there physically dominating. We've seen him. I really think he's a big game player. He comes to play in the playoffs. He brings that physicality. He's shooting the puck. He understands what he needs to do, and he does it. And I think, you know, and Phil too, and a comment that John Hines made about Forsberg when we had a chance to talk to him really sticks out in my mind, is you know, it, there's a difference between thinking you're playing good and just getting points, and then thinking, or then playing good and helping the team win and playing the way that you have to play to help the team win. Forsberg didn't get any points last night or yesterday, but he was a driving force. He created so much pressure and offense up ice, which led to goals. And he, you know, he's another guy that when he's physically engaged and you can see him out there, he's not going to go running around looking for hits every single time. But when it's there, he takes it. And just the way that he protects the puck and drives to the net and gets in zone and retrieves puck and win those battles, like he was doing that. So I think both of those guys, Johansson and Forsberg, I think are really playing. They're doing whatever they have to do to help the team have success, whether it's contributing offensively, like Phil did in game one and Joey did in game two, or if they're getting in on the battles and they're wearing down, you know, defensemen and wearing down teams and winning those puck battles and getting in on the forecheck and maybe not carrying it in and you have to chip it in sometimes because that's what you have to do. I think that they're doing whatever they have to do to help the team win.
We saw Bonino's line really step up yesterday. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi was everywhere on that line, and we know Bonino got the goal. Craig Smith was a big part of that. But the second line is still the one that I look at, Chris, of, okay, I feel like there's definitely another gear. So how does John Hines get the best out of those three to try and add them into the mix, what we're seeing with the Jofa line and then that Bonino line as well?
Well, if I look at game one, I felt, you know, they were average. They had a tough time getting into it. I don't think that all the penalties really helped, because anytime they start to get something going, take a penalty, then, you know, you have to take those guys off the ice and you're not getting in the rhythm of the game. Yesterday, I thought they were, in terms of generating scoring chances and offense and pressure and zone time, I thought they were one of the best lines for the Preds. They didn't get on the board. But to me, when I look at players and if they're in a slump or things aren't going well, they're not getting chances, then I'm really concerned. Then I'm like, God, they're just in their head. They're, you know, they're just thinking too much. They're just hesitating. But when they're in a situation like that where maybe they had, you know, not a great game one, but they come out in game two and they're buzzing, and they hemmed in the Coyotes in the second period. It felt like for, you know, 2 minutes straight, and they were getting backdoor chances and they're just cycling the puck and just in complete control. And they carry that over in the third period. I think this line is coming. That was a great game by them in terms of, you know, establishing themselves in the series and showing what they can do and what they need to do. And I think now obviously, you know, you got to make it show up on the scoreboard, but I thought it was a strong showing from that line. And you're right, Chase, they're going to need that line moving forward, because that's one thing that's kind of eluded the Preds in the past, is having those two big scoring lines. But I thought game two was a really good game for that line.
Do you think John Hines trots out the same lineup? He hasn't made any changes yet.
I don't expect any changes, you know, unless there's a health issue with any of the players. I expect the exact same lineup.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy awesome. The game. Let's see if the Predators can get one step closer to getting out of this qualifying round and moving on.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Chris Mason joins us every Wednesday on the program, brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, and he's normally at 1 o'clock, of course, with the Predators game today. Moved him up to talk a little hockey with him, so we appreciate that. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.